You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back. It is a midweek edition of Locked On Ravens, and we do have a lot to talk about. It is our mailbag episode today, and we are going to dive into a plethora of questions. We're going to get into five of them, and so we're going to take three in the second segment. We're going to look through those, and then in the third segment, we're going to be taking a look at our final two. But here in this first segment, we are going to somewhat continue our conversation from yesterday, because a new disrespectful thing has arisen from the same culprits. Now, you know, it was another day. I woke up and I saw all this outrage on the Twitter timeline, and I thought, oh man, what is it today? And it was Pro Football Focus, a guy from Pro Football Focus, Eric Eager, putting out a top 10 list of quarterbacks. And on that list, Lamar Jackson was ranked number 10 behind some questionable names. And so this is more of an opinion thing. And look, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I do want to kind of get into this list and discuss it from a disrespect perspective, but also just more about, you know, a football perspective. Does Lamar Jackson deserve to be behind those guys? And where does he really rank on most people's lists? So we'll talk about that in the first segment. And look, I heard very recently, I know you like Lamar Jackson, and yes, I do like Lamar Jackson, but also, you know, there are people out there who are saying, oh, you're such a blind defender, this, that, and the other. I'm not a blind defender. I mean, I think I know what I'm talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. So just talking about him, what other people's opinions are, yes, he is a very brought up topic on this show, but he's a very brought up topic throughout the whole football landscape, and when there is something surrounding Lamar Jackson that's being talked about, I want to cover it here on this show to keep people up to date. So again, we'll talk about the top 10 quarterback list from PFF in the first segment, and then get into our mailbag in the second and third segments. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Anyway, there's a podcast where they're waiting Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern time is when we put out our content. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we are going to dive right in. And let's get into this list here by Pro Football Focus, by PFF Eric, as he's called on Twitter. And so I'll just read down the list right now. Number one, Patrick Mahomes. Number two, Tom Brady. Number three, Aaron Rodgers. Number four, Russell Wilson. Number five, Josh Allen. Number six, Dak Prescott. Number seven, Matt Ryan. Number eight, Kirk Cousins. Number nine, Baker Mayfield. And number 10, Lamar Jackson. And so this is a list, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I do want to preface this by saying, not many of these opinions matter in the grand scheme of things. I'm talking about it because it caused a lot of controversy yesterday, and I want to talk about it also because it's interesting to kind of compare these guys, what they've done, how their regular season records are, playoff records are, accolades, stats, and see really based off of all that and everything weighed together, who should be where on this list, in my opinion. Again, it's kind of an opinion thing. So obviously, look, I do not believe Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the NFL. I am very high on Lamar Jackson. I think he is a phenomenal player, but I do not think he is the best quarterback. Really, where I rank Lamar Jackson on my list is anywhere from 3 to 4. And that depends on what you think about Tom Brady, honestly. I have him ahead of guys like Josh Allen and Russell Wilson, but obviously this is very opinion-based. I think probably on my list, I'd go Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson. And then I'd have Josh Allen number 5 and Russell Wilson number 6. So that's what I'm going with. But to see Lamar Jackson ranked behind, I think the biggest surprise was Kirk Cousins. That's a pretty big shock to me. Matt Ryan was another one I didn't expect at number 7. Baker Mayfield. Sure, you can make an argument for him as a top 10 quarterback, but you could also make an argument for him as a top 20 guy who's not even in the top 10 list for a lot of these guys as well. Dak Prescott coming off of a serious injury. You know, how is he going to be? Obviously, Deshaun Watson not on this list due to the stuff that he's been facing this offseason. And also, I think the next biggest snub on this list is Ryan Tannehill, according to most people. But there are a lot of good quarterbacks. So I think the main thing that drags Lamar Jackson down in these rankings, and obviously why people still don't believe in him for some reason, it's the playoff record, and people are kind of hanging on to that narrative of Lamar Jackson can't throw the football. He's a running back. He's a wide receiver. He can't do this. He can't do that. Lamar Jackson is not a perfect thrower of the football. His deep accuracy was a concern in 2020, wasn't able to hit on a lot of those throws. He is definitely better throwing over the middle of the field. He needs to improve on his outside ball. Although I will say his outside ball is actually really good at points. It's just getting the consistency down so he can do it over and over again. But look, no quarterback is perfect. Lamar Jackson has delivered countless beautiful throws. I could name plenty of them. You look at 2018, that throw against the Los Angeles Chargers in primetime to Mark Andrews. 2019, you look at his touchdowns to Marquise Brown deep in the opening game against Miami. You look to week two with that the throw, the sideline throw to Marquise Brown against the Arizona Cardinals. You look to 2020, there are multiple as well, but I think people see his MVP season, and people see what he did in 2020. And they say, well, Lamar Jackson, after scoring 43 total touchdowns, he didn't score 55 total touchdowns in 2020. He didn't improve statistically, so he's washed up. And his peak was 2019. And he's never going to be good because he already had his best season in the NFL in his second year. That's not a great argument, to be honest. I mean, all quarterbacks, whoever they are, they're going to have years where they have better stats than others. Sometimes it's a pretty steady progression up until their fifth, sixth season, where one year they throw for 2,500 yards, and next year they throw for 3,000 yards and 3,500, or they throw for 15 touchdowns and 23 touchdowns and 30 touchdowns, and it's kind of that consistent thing. I said for months and months and months leading up to the 2020 season that Lamar Jackson was probably going to regress statistically from that perspective in 2020, because a lot of people have great seasons, you know, in the NFL. Not a lot of people have a season like Lamar Jackson did, winning the second unanimous MVP in NFL history. So to expect him to have that again, obviously he could have done it. Like, he has the potential to do that every single season right now, but it's not likely for any player to continue to ascend, you know, let's say if they have a 10-year career, to ascend every single season statistically, unless they started off pretty slowly at the NFL level. So, I mean, looking at these guys, I think Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, and Baker Mayfield are all guys that I definitely would not have ranked above Lamar Jackson in this scenario. Look, Josh Allen made a great case for being one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I think he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but it was one season, right? He definitely struggled over his first 2 years in the NFL, had a phenomenal, you know, almost MVP-like season. He didn't win it, Aaron Rodgers did, but he had a great year in 2020, and I'm not denying that, and I don't think a lot of people do deny that, but we've seen Lamar Jackson have his struggles, but we've also seen him dominate for most stretches of games he's played in. There have been some down games, most definitely, but he's 30-7 in the regular season. Yes, the playoff record does need to improve. I've been saying that for a while. But with all these things considered, Baker Mayfield, one playoff win in 3 seasons. Now, he doesn't have the 3 losses Lamar Jackson has. He only has the 1. But I think people see that and they're like, oh, well, Baker Mayfield has the better playoff record, so he's better than Lamar Jackson. Or Baker Mayfield threw this many touchdowns. Baker Mayfield, I think, threw 21 interceptions in his rookie season. So it's not like he was lighting the world on, or maybe it was a second, it was one of his first 2 seasons. He was lighting the world on fire in some cases, but he was struggling with turnovers. All these guys have things that they work on, but with Lamar Jackson, it seems like those mistakes are amplified to an extent, so he's not getting the respect from a lot of outlets. But look, at the end of the day, it is an outlet, right? PFF is a media organization. They put their opinions out there. You know, that's the whole news cycle, especially right now in the summer. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really mean a lot, and the Ravens go out there and they prove that it doesn't mean a lot every single season. You know, Lamar Jackson, I'm sure he hears about it. I'm sure he might see it sometimes, but he's done a phenomenal job. This doesn't just go to draft day for Lamar Jackson and everything he's been dealing with as a pro. He dealt with it in college. I'm sure he dealt with some stuff in high school as well. You know, he's been questioned quite a bit throughout his football career. It hasn't stopped him from doing what he's been doing. Again, there are plenty of great quarterbacks in this league. I'm not bashing any of these quarterbacks who are on this list, who didn't make the list, whatever. But really what I see is Lamar Jackson, among most people, is ranked anywhere from number 3 to number 7, number 3 to number 8. I don't really see him in that 10 range, and this just goes along with not being in the top 50 and having all this other disrespect thrown at him and having him compared to everybody. So this is something that isn't new. This is something that people have been dealing with for a long time. Ravens fans, Louisville fans have been defending Lamar Jackson for what seems like years and years and years, and it's true because it's happened. But Lamar Jackson, I think, is going to have a phenomenal year in 2021. He has the offensive line now. He has the pass-catching weapons now. I think he has the coaches now, and hopefully the offensive scheme now, to put on a show and take this Ravens team deep in the playoffs in the 2021-2022 season. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be diving into the first part of our mailbag, so stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can check all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we've returned here with our second segment of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still hanging out with you here. And now we're going to get into our mailbag here, and we're going to be diving into three questions, starting off with Eric Clark, who... this isn't technically a mailbag question. He asked it to me on Twitter, but I still wanted to dive into it a bit. So he said, "I know it won't happen, but I wish we would copy the Titans on skill position roster building. They kept two running backs, one fullback, four tight ends, six wide receivers. I think we could do that so that way we can be explosive in the wide receiver room and still have the ability to go three tight ends slash heavy. Thoughts? Duvernay has the build to be running back three, kind of like Curtis Samuel filled in for CMC." So yeah, and I told Eric, I responded to Eric, and I said, it really, I think for me, all comes down to, it depends on who's competing for the roster spots on this team. And when you look at the running back room versus the tight end room, I could certainly see Devin Duvernay being used more like a running back three in some situations, but that's something where, does Devin Duvernay have that positional versatility? I don't think anybody's sure yet, and even the Ravens might not want to use him in that role anyway. But when it comes down to keeping two running backs versus four tight ends, or three running backs versus three tight ends, again, it's who's competing. So at the running back position, obviously J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are locks, like the actual big locks. And I think Justice Hill is too, but let's say Justice Hill isn't a lock and the Ravens do let him go. How likely is it that he gets claimed on waivers? I say it's pretty likely. So then we flip over to the tight ends and we say, well, they have Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle as the big locks, but for that third tight end spot, there are a lot of options like Josh Oliver and Eric Tomlinson and Eli Wolf and Jacob Breland. So they're going to be looking to probably keep one of those guys. They could keep two, but I'm going to probably say right now one of those guys. And then let's say, okay, so let's say Josh Oliver makes the team and the Ravens get rid of Eric Tomlinson, Jacob Breland, Eli Wolf, and Tony Pollyon, who's the undrafted guy out of the University of Virginia. I think it's a lot more likely that the Ravens would be able to get one or even two tight ends back on the practice squad as opposed to putting Justice Hill on the practice squad. And the Ravens could call up one of those guys if they wanted to go heavier and the Ravens had a week where they were playing a defense that, you know, they needed to run the football on more, or they felt like they could use the play action game with tight ends more and they wanted to have an extra tight end up just in case. Then if Jacob Breland comes back to the practice squad, or if Eli Wolf comes back to the practice squad, or Tony Pollyon, you can call up those guys because of the call-up rules, and then you can use them that way. Whereas with Justice Hill, I think even if he did go through waivers, it'd be a couple weeks before he got claimed by somebody, and the Ravens have to protect him every week, and then it just becomes more complicated. And I think the Ravens are envisioning a pretty big role for Justice Hill. So look, I definitely understand from a perspective of maybe the Ravens should build their roster this way. I think at the end of the day, the Ravens are probably going to go 3 running backs, 1 fullback, 3 tight ends, 6 wide receivers. I know a lot of people have been arguing for 7, keeping Boykin and James Prochet both in the fold. But I just don't think they throw the football enough to constitute that and to really go with that idea. And I think having 2 tight ends at this point is just not what this team needs. I think they need to get back to that 3 tight end set in a bit. You know, they don't have to go back to it as much as they did in 2019. And I don't think they will, because they have the pass-catching weapons now to not do that. But I think it will be a good thing if the Ravens did keep 3 running backs and 3 tight ends instead of 2 running backs and 4 tight ends. Next, we're going to take a look at a question from Jaron F., who says, "Been thinking about this a bit, but is Russell Westbrook the NBA equivalent of Lamar Jackson? Plus athlete that maybe isn't the most efficient in conventional metrics, but makes his team better nonetheless. Will PFF reevaluate his impact when the dust settles?" And yeah, I've heard Russell Westbrook is the NBA comparison to Lamar Jackson, but honestly, the one that I hear the most is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the reason for that is, I think, just the playoff record, the playoff resume, which for both players has not been great. Now, Giannis has advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals, and we'll see how this series plays out with the Hawks. It's currently tied 2-2 between the two teams heading into Game 5, but I think that's what I've seen. I know that Alex Clancy, one of the co-hosts here, he hosts Locked On Cardinals, and he is considered Lamar Jackson, the same as Giannis Antetokounmpo, as someone who is a great athlete, great player, but will never win a championship with a style of play. And, you know, I don't believe that for any player. I don't think that any player has a skill set or has a play style that completely eliminates them from winning a championship. It's more than one player, right? Obviously, for stars, they have much more of an impact. Russell Westbrook, you do see the hate that comes from, you know, him being a very efficient player, but he just has not shown up in the playoffs for the majority of his career, and he's not as efficient as a ton of other players. I think Lamar Jackson is efficient, though. We see a lot of advanced metrics with Lamar Jackson where he is actually pretty good compared to other players, but I think people look at the completion percentage, and his completion percentage wasn't even that bad over his last couple of years. But I think people look at the box score stats and they see the passing yards, whereas, you know, Russell Westbrook is racking up points and racking up rebounds, racking up assists and triple doubles. But for Lamar Jackson, I think people don't call him efficient because he's not throwing for 300 yards a game, whereas people associate the quarterback position with passing yards, when in reality, passing yards is probably the least important stat, or at least one of the least important stats that quarterbacks have in today's NFL. Russell Westbrook, again, he racks up everything. He racks up the triple-doubles, but he's doing it on 5 of 21 shooting, or he's doing it on this and that. I think Giannis is also pretty efficient most of the time. Obviously, he has his off games, and he can't shoot a great percentage outside of the restricted area, but he is someone who knows what he does well and I think capitalizes on it. And it's, you know, it's up to him to expand his game. It's up to Lamar Jackson to expand his game. And will PFF reevaluate his impact when the dust settles? I mean, maybe they could. To move off of pretty strong claims, though, that have gotten a lot of people upset, I don't know if that'd be on brand for them. I honestly don't keep up with them enough to know. But I do think that at the end of the day, these media companies, look, it's the dog days of summer. They're trying to put out content, trying to get engagements, trying to get impressions. And it's worked to an extent, right? I mean, I talked about it on my show and because of the fact that it got so many engagements and impressions and got so many people riled up over these past couple of days. But I think any good media company would reevaluate it. I think Pro Football Focus will, because I think they value their brand and they value consistency. And I don't think they're absolutely making stuff up. I'm sure to some extent they believe what they're putting out. Maybe they fully do believe it, which is completely fine. Everybody's entitled to those opinions. But they've put out these opinions and this information, and they've stuck by it. So it'll be up to them whether they decide to do that or not. But I'm not going to read too much into it. I'm not going to put too much into it, because at the end of the day, it is just an opinion. And the Ravens, they'll either prove it wrong themselves or they'll prove it right themselves. But I think they will prove it wrong. And then finally here, we'll get into a question from Jake Solomon, who asks, We saw something a bit out of the ordinary where our coaching staff was rotating in Fluker and Phillips last year at right tackle, when in most cases, coaches like to stay with just the starting five to maintain continuity. Any idea as to why the Ravens did that last year? And yeah, Jake, it was really interesting. Honestly, it was something I was not expecting. You saw that rotation in there between Phillips and Fluker. I think the Ravens liked what each brought in different senses. I think they liked the veteran savvy of Fluker, and they liked a lot of what Phillips was bringing to the table as a rookie and trying to get him reps to improve, because I think they really like Phillips, and they liked him back then too. But obviously with Phillips, the foot speed was the issue. I think really, when it comes down to it, if the Ravens didn't put that rotation into effect, it probably would have been Fluker who got the nod at the right tackle position. But I think this was a situation of the Ravens not really having any tackle depth and trying to find a combination that worked for them. Because I agree, I think the best situation for a team is to put in starting fives that maintain the continuity, instead of having a guy go in and they establish a rhythm and then they get taken out and then that kills the rhythm. It worked to an extent. I'm not saying it didn't, but I think the reason why the Ravens did it was to get Phillips experience while also getting Fluker in there, who I think they most likely thought, not confirmed, but they probably thought was the better player just because of his experience and his ability to do a lot of different things. Fluker was a mauler in the run game and struggled in pass protection. Phillips, I think, just needed experience and needed some semblance of, hey, this is what it's like to play in the NFL, and now he's the backup right tackle who could really step into a situation where if Villanueva goes down or if Villanueva needs to move to the left side, it's his time. So I think it will benefit him in the long run. I think the Ravens were taking a futuristic approach when they were doing that, but also they wouldn't have played Phillips if they didn't think that he was good enough to play in that moment. So they obviously believed in him. Again, I think they really do like him. So it's kind of an interesting question, and I don't have a full answer, but my answer would be that they liked both players. They liked what they both brought. Fluker was the veteran. Phillips was the inexperienced guy. So to get Phillips that experience, they rotated him in with Fluker, and that's the result. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at our final two questions from our mailbag. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back soon. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in the How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. What's your favorite Built Bar flavor? Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, including coconut, cherry, raspberry, double chocolate, and salted caramel? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you, and now we're going to dive into the final two questions of our midweek mailbag here. Starting off with a question from Connor, who asks, what made Tyler Johnson a fifth-round pick and Rashad Bateman a first-round pick when Johnson had better stats in the same offense in 2019? And so this is a good question because I think both Tyler Johnson and Rashad Bateman were two very good receivers at the University of Minnesota. But as Connor mentions, one was a fifth-round pick and one was a first-round selection. So when looking at Tyler Johnson and what he was really good at coming out of college, I mean, he was able to be a good route runner. He also was great in contested catch situations. But what people knocked him on was his ability to separate from NFL cornerbacks. And people didn't really view him as a burner, and I mean, he's not, but now at the NFL level, you're seeing that, you know, he can produce without needing immense separation from corners. But I think NFL teams value that a lot, and they'll take risks on guys like Tyler Johnson, like Tampa Bay did, and he's been a great performer for them. But when looking at a guy like Rashad Bateman, Rashad Bateman's also not a speedster, like a burner guy who's going to run a 4.2 or anything, but he can separate. You watch him run routes, and he separates really well, and he's just an overall well-rounded player, where with Johnson, he certainly has plenty of positives, but the separation thing was a big concern, I think, for a couple teams, and so that's why he dropped. And for Rashad Bateman, he was a guy who can do it, and he is a guy who can do it, but when looking at just how many good traits Rashad Bateman has and what his scouting report for a lot of people, a lot of websites, a lot of teams, what they had for him, he's able to win contested catch situations, but he's also able to get the separation that he needs. So he can catch the football in multiple different ways, and he can get himself open in multiple different ways with smooth breaks, acceleration. He's able to do things at the top of his route. He's able to stop and start really well. So he can do all that, but then also he can go up on a corner if a corner is with him step for step and make a nice catch. So I think Bateman was a really well-rounded prospect, whereas Tyler Johnson coming out, there were some questions, and that's why I think Johnson was a fifth-round pick and Bateman was a first-round pick. Finally, here we have a question from Eric who asks, which wide receivers make the team? And so I did say earlier in the show, I think it will be 6 wide receivers. I think 5 is too little and 7 is far too many with how the Ravens throw the football as well as how they run the football. The 6 to make the team, I think obviously Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, Sammy Watkins, Tylan Wallace, they all make the team. So that's 5. It comes down to Miles Boykin and James Prochet. And honestly, it's such a toss-up between those two. It really is going to be who has the better preseason, who has the better training camp. If I had to make a guess right now, I mean, I really couldn't. But one thing I do think could happen is if Miles Boykin is the guy to impress, the Ravens might try to stash James Prochet on injured reserve and see what happens next season. And if Miles Boykin doesn't pan out, then they still have Prochet for next year. But we've heard good things about James Prochet already from minicamp and from OTAs. So honestly, I think Prochet has all the potential in the world. And I think would prefer Prochet at this point. I wouldn't give up on a guy who has barely had any time to prove himself and to play. But it's difficult because the Ravens have a lot of slot guys already. That was an issue they had in 2020. And in 2021, you're probably looking at Marquise Brown in the slot and Devin Duvernay in the slot. Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman can kick inside to the slot if they wanted to. So now you need some outside receivers, and Bateman and Watkins will do that. And I also think if the Ravens wanted to, they could put Duvernay and Brown on the outside and even Wallace too. But it's looking like if you really want it to be an outside guy, if they get what they want, it's going to be probably Watkins and Bateman and maybe some Marquise Brown thrown in there too. But if one gets hurt, then who's the outside guy? Miles Boykin is also the best blocker from the receiver position on the Ravens right now, which they value a lot. So it'll be interesting to see. I think, again, it'll be 6 guys, the core 5, as I mentioned, and then one of the 2 of Miles Boykin and James Prochet. You know, I'll call it Boykin by a hair right now, but that can easily switch, and James Prochet could be the guy to take over that role. And I think, personally, I'd probably prefer Prochet, but if Boykin impresses in the preseason, then it could easily be him. That's all that I have for you today, but when we get back here tomorrow, we'll be diving into more Ravens football talk, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.